to listen to the Left Traffic Podcast.
What is up, Left Traffic Nation? Welcome to episode 205 of the Left Traffic Podcast. I am your host, the Professor Brandon Crowd. Hope you all had a fantastic weekend. Oh, man, you know, I think up here in Michigan, this might have been our last warm weekend of the year. Temps were in the high 60s, low 70s all weekend. I think I might have also got my last round of golfing for the year as well, which, hey, you guys may have saw. I tweeted it out on Saturday. I got my first eagle, which was freaking sweet. Second shot on a par four, about 150 out. 8-iron, ball hit the green, rolled about 3 feet right into the cup. It was absolutely incredible. There was witnesses, so it's all, I mean, it's a good eagle. Oh, man, had some fun out there on the golf course. Got back in time to watch the Monsoon 250 on Saturday, and then we had a repeat on Sunday. And, oh, cannot wait to get into that here in just a couple minutes. If you missed last week's two shows, make sure you go back and check them out. Last Tuesday night, Karen Grant from NASCAR's Diversity and Inclusion Division was on the show. And then Thursday night, Sherwin from the PETM podcast and I talked about the 2021 schedule. And we had a lot of fun with that. I wasn't sure if that was going to be like a 30. Well, I knew it wasn't going to be a 30-minute show because you don't put Brandon Crowd and Andrew Sherwin on the mic and get anything done in 30 minutes. But I wasn't sure if it was going to be like a 60, 90. I didn't know. It was literally that was one of the fewest note sheets I've ever written. I just had the schedule on one page and some bullet points on the other. And we just went and had at it and had a great time. So go check that out. You will definitely enjoy that for sure. Over 3.5 hours of content published last week. So for everyone that keeps saying, give me what you got, well, I gave it to you last week, and I hope you enjoyed it. So that said, what's coming up tonight? Well, tonight, oh, stack show. Y'all going to enjoy this one, too. Gary Camp, Assistant VP of Marketing and Communications from Dover and Nashville Super Speedway, is going to be on to keep that schedule talk going. And race winner from the Xfinity Series this past weekend, AJ Allmendinger, is going to be back on the show to talk about his win, racing in the rain at the Roval, Colleg Racing, and all that good stuff. I'll recap Cup, social media, all that good stuff. Brian Newdorf will be on to make fun of me. Lucky Dog, Lap Down, and of course, Fantasy to close it out. So let's get this jam-packed show going with Gary Camp. All right, Lap Traffic Nation, joining me on the line, making his first appearance on the Lap Traffic Podcast. He's the Assistant VP of Marketing and Communications with Dover International Speedway and for Nashville Super Speedway, where NASCAR will be making its return to the Nashville area in the Cup Series for the first time in over 37 years next year. Welcome to the Lap Traffic Podcast, Gary Camp. Gary, what's going on, man? How are you?
Hey, doing great. Thank you so much for having me. Really excited to connect with you guys and hope to be a regular.
I mean, don't tempt me with a good time. Oh, man, I'm excited to have you on. The listeners know I love having the tracks on just because it's so much fun to promote and hear and see the different things that are going on. And what I thought would be cool to have you on is to talk a little bit about the schedule and all that kind of stuff. But before we get going into all that stuff, since it is your first time on the show, tell everyone a little bit about yourself, where you grew up, what got you to Dover, Nashville, and into NASCAR.
Yeah, sure. So I live here in Delaware. Where I work is Dover International Speedway. We're a publicly traded company. We're not part of the larger track ownership groups, NASCAR and SMI. We're sort of an independent in that we're not part of those groups. We're much like Pocono and Indy,
sure,
kind of on a little island here doing our deal. But I live in Wilmington, Delaware, and then work here at the track in Dover. And we just recently fired up Nashville Super Speedway again. So lots of things are underway there that I can share with you as we dig in a little bit here. But I've been at the track in Dover for 16 years now. Worked in advertising and marketing for years before I joined the track here. If you've never been to Dover, we share the property with a full-service hotel and casino, Dover Downs Hotel and Casino. So I did a bunch of work back in the day for those guys when they were opening and launching and unveiling some things. And that's kind of how I got connected to the property and the sport. And it's taken off since then. So enjoy the work. Everybody wants to work in sports, and it's always a fun opportunity to be part of this circus that is NASCAR. It's fun, you know. We're glorified party planners here at the track level, doing our best to make sure that the fans have a great experience when they come out to see us. NASCAR does a great job and handles the competition and the action on the track. And so at the track level, it's really our charge to just make sure that everything outside of the racing itself goes off flawlessly. So enjoy that aspect of what we do, and we're always trying to think of the next big thing to engage with fans and make sure that they have a great time when they come see us.
That's awesome. I love that so much. All right, Gary, the fans have been chomping at the bit for a long time for a big change to the schedule. You know, there were factors at play that prevented such a big swing for a while that we finally got, right? We got it. And hopefully we get to get fans back at the track everywhere next year. You know, hopefully at least some fans can get back throughout the circuit. What were your thoughts when you saw the final schedule as one of the guys that you used to be a glorified party planner? You know, what was your first thought with the changes, the moving, the tracks we lost, the tracks we gained, locations, times, all that kind of stuff? What was some of your initial thoughts when you saw the final product?
Yeah, sure. So, you know, I've been reading and been paying close attention to what the fans think. We always do. And so we know there's been an outcrying of interest in a little variety in the schedule, both from the fans and the drivers and the industry as a whole. So I know it, you know, being in this seat and being on the track promoter side of the house, it's not easy to juggle all of that from a NASCAR perspective. There's so many different bosses and people that they have to please, as you can imagine. So it's one thing for fans to just say, it'd be great if there was more short tracks and more road courses. It's another thing for that to actually happen from a business perspective.
Sure.
There's so many moving pieces. So pretty cool to see what they were able to accomplish behind the scenes in quiet for so long. Honestly, we were fortunate enough to be able to announce the Nashville Super Speedway move a few months ago. And that was really just a product of us needing to get going. Some of these other tracks have been fired up and running races and are kind of active properties. And ours was sort of a dormant facility there. So we needed the green light, if you will, publicly, so that we could start hiring folks and working on the track and kind of get the ball rolling. So that's why our news came out a little bit earlier than this big schedule announcement last week. But overall, I think it's great. I mean, we've hosted two races here in Dover, Delaware for 51 years or so. And so, you know, we're kind of fortunate that we had this other little gem sitting out side of Nashville proper where we could move one of the Dover race weekends. And, you know, the hope is that by moving one of the Dover race weekends, you'd like to think that the crowds will combine for a bigger, better, larger event here in Dover the one time that we race. And then in Nashville, we certainly saw that when the Champions Week festivities came to town, that fans were just chomping at the bit to get a NASCAR Cup Series race in that market. There's just so much interest and demand, and there's so much going on in Nashville itself. Yeah. I mean, the tourism mecca as much as any other town on the NASCAR circuit. So to be able to host a race in such a hot area is something that we're really excited about. And we've got lots of work ahead of us, but we're excited to get going.
Sure, absolutely. Can you shed a little light on what the process is like, you know, from a NASCAR schedule, you know, as a track? You know, how much involvement do you guys have at the track in saying, you know, hey, yeah, I want this date. Nope, that date doesn't work for us, or our sponsors want a different date. You know what? You know, I've when I was putting some questions together, I just kept thinking of like an NFL like draft war room kind of thing, you know, like 900 phones going at the same time. Like,
yeah,
could you
sure
use that, you know? And I'm sure that's not it. So what, you know, what goes?
Well,
there's
a little bit of that, as you can imagine. Like I said earlier, as much as you might want to be on a specific date that's great for you, that has a trickle down effect for the rest of the tracks on the schedule. So even if we were to slide, you know, one or two weekends for some reason, then that bumps this event, which changes this event, and so it's a, you know, I'm not in those discussions when NASCAR is moving all these puzzle pieces around to make it all work. But you know, we get some input and we share where we'd like to be in terms of the time of year, weather-wise. You know, there's some limitations in the Northeast,
sure.
So. As long as we're in kind of that sweet spot where it's not too cold and it's not too hot, we're happy. So I think this May race weekend will work great for us in 2021. May 16th is the Cup race. And then for this inaugural event at Nashville Super Speedway, we're going to be June 20th, which is Father's Day, which there's a little cachet to that and some fun that we can have. Being a part of the circus now on that weekend, so we're excited about it.
Michigan used to host Father's Day weekend for years, and that was always a special thing out there. So yes, you guys will definitely be able to capture and make some special father son moments that weekend for sure.
Yeah, I sure hope so.
Absolutely. Obviously, certain races aren't changing, right? Daytona 500 is going to be the season opener. Would you like to see aggressive swings each year? Should we keep this schedule, you know, for the most part and see what sticks? You know, what's your thought going forward from how that should rotational perspective?
Yep. I think COVID taught us a good bit about events and how to put events on and single day shows and just the operational aspects of a NASCAR weekend. So I think we learned from that. You know, a lot of fans were really anxious to see a midweek race, which wasn't something that seems to have panned out as well as everybody had hoped. So I think that the schedule that they've come up with is a good one, and you got to just give it some time, I think, now. We had been doing it the other way for so long. So now that there's some new meat on the bone,
sure.
If you will.
Yep.
And we know that there's some changes coming to Auto Club for the following year. So I think let's see how this goes, and we'll make some changes, little changes along the way. But I'm excited for it.
Excellent. No, absolutely. Every NASCAR fan that's been around a minute knows Dover, knows Miles the Monster and all that stuff. But Nashville Super Speedway, you know, may not be as familiar. Talk a little bit about the track, the facility itself as compared to Dover.
We need a nickname out in Nashville. If you have any ideas, let me know. You know, we hang our hat on the Monster Mile here in Dover, Delaware, but we'd love to come up with something like that in Nashville. We have had some just informal discussions about that. You know, there's tracks that have done a nice job with branding and attaching themselves to a moniker like that. So we're going to give it some time. Hopefully the drivers and the competition on the track will speak for itself and create a fun nickname for us out there. But yeah, there's a good bit of work to do at the facility in Nashville. We built it 20 years ago with the hope that we would eventually land a NASCAR Cup Series race there. So this is the realization of a 20-year business plan, if you
sure.
will, that a Cup race is coming there. You know, I'll be honest with you and tell you, I never thought that this day would come and that we'd be able to wrangle this thing and change things around enough to make it happen, because it's a commitment. I mean, the facility is great, to be honest. You know, we built it 20 years ago. We hosted Xfinity truck IRL races, IndyCar races there for 10 years, and then shuttered the facility. And it's been fairly busy with rentals, believe it or not. Nissan at one time was parking 10,000 cars
wow.
on the property and using it as a big old parking lot for their production facilities, which are just down the road. It's been fairly well kept. There's been one employee there. I love to tell the story. His name is Don Huebner. Great guy. Was one of the first hires at the track. Worked every single race. Never missed an event that was held at Nashville Super Speedway. And then we eventually, due to some business reasons, had to shutter the facility there. And Don was the lone employee that stayed on and rode the tractor and cut the grass and kept the place going and chased off anybody who shows up to do burnouts out in front of the track. You know, he's just a good guy, and he's been there through it all. And then lo and behold, here comes the cavalry again, and we're coming back, and we're bringing engineers out to the track, and they're snooping around, and he's wondering what the heck's going on. Is this going to happen? And then the announcement comes out that we're bringing the Cup Series to Nashville Super Speedway. So I can only imagine what was going through his head as this whole, you know, his career has been out there hosting events and then maintaining the facility by himself. I always say it's kind of like the Shining,
right?
Just the guy in the big hotel by himself, trying not to lose his mind out there. And now here comes the party again. So pretty cool. Cool for him and cool for us.
That's awesome. That's really cool. I like that. All right. We're down to just four more races in 2020. In May, I didn't know we were going to get it all in. Were we going to get it? And here we are. We're down to four. All right. You got to give me a championship pick.
Well, I work here at Dover International Speedway. Like I said, there's a casino with sports betting.
Yes.
Right down the hall from my office. So once in a while, I'll put a wager in, and I took Kurt Busch in the beginning of the year to win the championship. I have the ticket right here next to me. I put $20 on Kurt, and I stand to win $820 if he wins. So my money is on Kurt Busch.
Excellent.
To win the championship. Denny Hamlin strong, Kevin Harvick strong, of course. Love that Alex Bowman is in the mix, but I'd love to see Kurt. Kurt's a good friend of the track. He's always been really gracious with his time with us and helping us out. So I would love to see Kurt pull that off if he could. But there's some good names in the mix, and you never know what's going to happen. I guess this
Absolutely.
New format really really creates some excitement. So
Gary, we know 2021 will be here before we know it. I think it'll be awesome to have you back on a few weeks out from Nashville and Dover to hype up race weekend, to let all the fans know the fun and entertainment that you guys will be having outside of the great racing. But in the meantime, where can fans follow Dover and Nashville on social media? Drop some ticket news, all that good stuff. Whatever.
Sure.
What do you got there?
Sure. So Dover's easy, right? We've been doing this for a while. It's doverspeedway.com. Information is on the website about everything that's going on here in Delaware. We've got tickets on sale for next year. You can purchase your tickets and lock those up now. And then NashvilleSuperspeedway.com is the website for Nashville Super Speedway. We are in the process of finalizing a new logo and a rebranding effort there. That thing is going to be ready to roll in a few weeks. So as part of our refresh and all the many things that are going on there, where everything from new suites to new safer barriers to new asphalt to signage, there's just a million things that have to happen at Nashville Super Speedway just to get it Cup Series ready.
Sure.
But one of those things is the website and some of the marketing that we'll have coming out here soon. So there's been an incredible amount of demand of people that are just blindly emailing us and saying, I want to come to those races, take my money,
right,
and save me a seat, which is pretty cool to have people banging on our door like that. So we're excited about it. We're excited about what 2021 has in store for us. Hopefully we'll be COVID-free and clear of all the chaos that we've all been living through, and be good to get back to the track and take some racing in, that's for sure.
Absolutely. All right, Lap Traffic Nation, huge thanks to Gary Camp, Assistant VP of Marketing and Communications with Dover International Speedway and Nashville Super Speedway, for calling in tonight. Gary, it's great to talk with you. Look forward to talking to you soon. Stay safe and healthy, man.
All right, you too. Thanks so much.
Oh, Lap Traffic Nation, how cool was that? Gary Camp from Dover and Nashville. You guys know how much I love talking to the tracks. I think it just adds such a unique piece to the show to highlight and get those tracks on and get them some spotlight. And I mean, it's the 2021 schedule. It's something we've all been waiting for. So I was so excited when that got set up. Huge props, by the way, to intern Dan. That interview is all because of Dan, which is very cool. Definitely looking forward to getting Dan back on here at least once or twice before this season wraps up and all that good stuff. So very excited. And who knows? Hey, maybe you'll be seeing that traffic at, probably Nashville. Maybe. Yeah, we're still working out some things here as, the lap traffic tour is concerned here. So we'll see what happens there. What do you say? We talked some racing from this past weekend. Well, I tell you what, let's do this first. Let's preview the Kansas Trucks. Yes, the Trucks, after a week off this past weekend, are going to be back this weekend at Kansas. So here's the thing. This is good news for me. So I assume this is going to be good news for the rest of you guys, is that the rest of the season we get trucks, Xfinity, and Cup every weekend to close this thing out, which is very cool. You know, the truck race or the truck series, that you know, it's three rounds total for the playoffs, and that one round is just Phoenix. So it's really six races, two rounds, and 10 drivers to figure out who's going to that third round at Phoenix. So this week, Kansas is a race one of round two. And I'm telling you, it's shaping up here. You know, Sheldon Creed's in first. Brett Moffitt's only 5 points back. Grant Enfinger is 32. But between Grant Enfinger, Austin Hill, Matt Crafton, the points are very close. So, you know, I think it's probably safe to say Creed and Moffitt could point their way into the next round. But on the same token, you know, we know Austin Hill can win a race. We know Matt Crafton can win a race. We know Ben Rhodes can win a race. Zane Smith's won two. You know, Tyler Ankrum's the only one that hasn't. But I think he won Kansas a year or two ago. So, you know, anything could happen that really could throw things off for some of these truck guys, which is, I think, really cool. Going to add to the excitement. You know, we got Kansas. They're going to be racing at Martinsville, which is always exciting, and Texas there in the middle. So definitely looking forward to this round of eight for the truck series for sure. And looking forward to talking some trucks next weekend or next week. All right. It's pretty much all that I could stretch out of talking about trucks, to be honest with you. So without further ado, let's talk some Xfinity Series racing with, I'm going to let, you know, AJ Allmendinger do it because he can do it a hell of a lot better than I can. So let's get AJ on the line. All right, Lap Traffic Nation, joining me on the line, making his second appearance on the Lap Traffic Podcast. He is the driver of the number 16 with Colic Racing. He's got two wins, six top fives, eight top tens in just 10 races this year. And he's the winner of this past weekend's drive for the Cure 250 at the Charlotte Roval. Welcome back, AJ Allmendinger. What's up, man? How are you?
Doing well, just, you know, trying to take it all in still. You never know when it's your last one, so try to celebrate everyone and just enjoy it. That's as I get older, that's the thing that I'm learning.
That's awesome. Like, each one's the first one, right? That's how excited you got to be with them.
Yeah, I mean, it's, I'm not doing all we can, and you know, as I said, I mean, it's just, I think in the past, there was times where when I would win, you'd be happy for a day and you're like, all right, go to the next one, you know? And now I guess the schedule helps a little bit when you don't have to worry about the next race for a few weeks or whenever that may be. So yeah, just having fun with it.
That's awesome. It's so cool. AJ, so you were last on the show after the Atlanta win back in June. And since then, you went on a tear, man. That 16 car has been great. You know, talk about the year as a whole before we get to this past weekend. You know, how much fun did you have? The team, the car, I know everything's been stellar. It's just been so much fun to watch.
Yeah, I mean, obviously just a little bit unexpected. The Atlanta win was awesome. I mean, to get my first oval win, and that was a race that we hadn't even planned on running. And then because of that, we went to Homestead and had the Xfinity Dash for Cash and was able to win that. And, you know, from there on, I mean, if we want to be a little picky, of course, we'd like to have a couple more wins. So close at the Brickyard, that was one of those that I really wanted to win. Just first road course race there for Xfinity, and more importantly, it's Indy. Sure, like I don't care what you're racing at Indy. If you win, it's a big deal. But you know, Chase Briscoe did a fantastic job there and deserved the win. Road America, I thought we had a great shot to win that one, and our strategy just kind of, we messed that up a little bit. And obviously Daytona, that was going to be a big win. It'd be cool to pull in the victory lane at Daytona in the Xfinity car, but wasn't meant to be. So there could be a few more wins, but heck, I mean, we couldn't have won on Saturday. So you just,
sure,
you take some and just been very happy with how the years went. You know, I think Colic Racing, they got two cars right now into the round of eight, which is a big deal. And, you know, as I said from the start, I just want to go out there and do my best for Matt Colic, Chris Rice, all the men and women at the team, and more importantly, just try to hopefully keep making this team better in any way that I can. When I'm in the car or just sitting at home watching the race, I'm just always constantly trying to help. So It's going well so far.
That's awesome. Well, I tell you, you know, I know a lot of the listeners are the diehard NASCAR fans. If you're listening to an amateur podcast, you got to be a diehard, right? And everybody, I praise Colic Racing so much throughout the year, and just the trajectory from last year to this. I mean, it is so visibly noticeable to even like the casual NASCAR fan has to notice. Well, wait, I'm starting to hear these guys' names a lot more in Justin Haley and Ross, you know, the upward trajectory of this team is just unbelievable, and it's been so much fun to watch.
Yeah, I was actually thinking about that this morning. You know, heck, a year and a half ago, Ross won at Daytona in July last year. So not even really a year and a half. Really in a 15-16 month span, the team had zero wins and now has seven.
Yep.
And that's something. It's, we live in a world now where you just want everything now, and you expect everything to happen right this second. But in motorsports especially, it doesn't happen right this second. And Colic Racing, and that's part of the reason why when Chris Rice called me and asked me if I wanted to be part of the team, you know, I'd watch the rise of the team. But it was methodical. It was one car. And they slowly worked it for a couple of years, kept getting better. And last year, you know, we went to a part-time two-car schedule for the most part. Of course, we had three at Daytona last year when Ross won. But mostly it was a part-time two-car team, a full-time one-car effort. And this year it's two full cars, and the 16 car is a part-time car. And went from zero wins to seven. And that's pretty amazing. And And we've won on different types of racetracks, road courses, super speedways, the mile and a half at Atlanta. Ross and Justin could have had some short track wins. I mean, they were awesome at Richmond. Justin was really quick at Bristol. So was Ross. So it's getting there. Of course, we'd like to be better. You know, you look at the Fords at Stuart Haas and Team Penske. They've been dominant this year with whatever it is, 14 wins combined. But it's getting there, and I really think Ross and Justin have a shot at the championship. So, I love what Chris Rice and Matt Colic and everybody's doing with the race team.
It's awesome, man. Well, let's talk about your win this past weekend for a little bit. The Roval, man, that thing's put on some incredible races over the last 3 years and all the in the Xfinity and the Cup Series. Talk about, man, the stress, the anxiety, man. What was it like in that monsoon, man?
It was a lot of stress. I was definitely not a happy person in the race car for most of that race. Chris Rice can attest to, he had to listen to me whine and complain. I was probably doing it way too much at times. I mean, it was, when I started anything from third row on back, you just couldn't see. Like, you dropped the green and you were like, okay, I have no idea where I'm going. Like, it's, I call it driving in like the depths of hell. You just saw these red blinking lights. Like, okay, I hope they're not there. Like, when I get there, I have no idea where I'm going. And I mean, it was just chaos. And there was times I didn't think we should be running. But at that point, everybody's racing. It's same conditions. So you got to figure it out. And there was a couple of times, like, I had to try to motivate myself. Like, I got to warp twisted mind most of the time. So like I would have to like hold the radio button down and complain so Chris Rice could tell me, well, all right, AJ, if you don't feel safe, man, just pull it in. And then in my mind, I was like, hell with that, pulled in. Like, so it's a weird way to try to motivate myself sometimes, but yeah, I mean, it was crazy. Chase did a what he was able to do at times with his race car, the way he was able to brake. I mean, he was really good. He upped my game. I was doing everything I could just to hang with him. And then on the restarts, I knew those were my opportunities. And, you know, green, white checkered, especially as much as it started raining there, it was just about who wasn't going to make the mistake. And as Chase was spinning, I thought I was crashing too. I thought I was hitting the wall. I thought my race was over. And my spotter, Freddie Kraft, was yelling, 98 spinning, like, keep going. And
drive it through.
It was just like, it was just hanging on. It was chaos, but I was happy we came out on top.
That's awesome. That's crazy. So I'm glad it was, I say glad, but I mean, I'm it's nice to know that that's how I felt watching it. Like, you know, and I'm just sitting on my couch. So I could not imagine being in that seat, man. That, like you said, you know, between the no lights on the infield, basically the man. Oh,
well, there was one giant beaming light, and that was the giant Jumbotron that was just like reflecting the water, and you couldn't see anything for about 8 seconds. But yeah,
oh, man,
it was chaos.
Oh, that's crazy. Okay, let's see here. So I got to get your take on this. The fact that you aren't in the playoffs, for me, I love when a non-playoff guy wins, because one, I think it just gives that guy a little extra swagger, like, haha, I stole one from you guys. Is that the feeling you have? Like, is it a little extra something when you win a playoff race not in the playoffs?
I mean, honestly, it's a little bit extra when you're just not full-time anyway. You know, it's kind of the same way to Atlanta. Like, I mean, we're out there to win, and that's the goal. But when it comes to the actual running in the playoffs, I mean, I look at it, I never want to race dirty. There's times like at Daytona with Allgaier where, you know, I make a mistake and you get into the side of somebody. That happens to everybody.
Sure.
But I don't want to go out there and ruin somebody's playoffs. But with that said, like, I'm out there to win. That's what college racing is. That's why we're there. The 16 car isn't there for top fives. I mean, yeah, you want to run well, but the ultimate goal is to win. And they have way more to lose than I do.
Sure.
So, you know, but at that point, like racing with Chase, he'd already won that round. So, I mean, he had just as much motivation to go get more playoff points, knowing that anything other than winning the race really didn't matter to him as well. So you got to know who you're racing around. It was the same thing last year when I was battling so hard with Christopher Bell. I knew I could lean on him a little bit more because same deal. He had won already. He was going to the next round. So if something happened, like, it didn't just destroy their championship. But yeah, I mean, it doesn't matter. There's no added motivation. You just want to win, right? Like, that's why we're here. That's what we do it for. And it's nice when it happens.
Ah, that's great, man. You mentioned your teammates both into the round of eight there. Justin Haley, man, he's developing into one hell of a plate racer, sweeping both Dega races, Daytona. Ross has this year 9 second or third place finishes. It's amazing this dude has not gotten a win this year. You know, as the veteran guy in with these younger guys in the playoffs, how do you coach them, keep them calm and all that stuff through these last four races to get them to that final four race at Phoenix?
Well, I mean, I just if they want my advice, you know, they can ask for it, and we constantly talk between Justin and Ross and I. But I mean, they're so talented. They don't need a lot of help. You know, when it came to like the Daytona thing with Ross, we talked about it after, and you know, sure. I mean, and if you saw my interview on TV, of course you're frustrated. You have a chance to win. You know, teammates crash together coming to the checkered. That's not a good look for anybody. But you know, different point in my life. 38 years old now that have done it for so many years and not doing it full time. I also understood Ross's side of it.
Sure.
And I get like he's trying to win, and for his sponsor, Nutrien Ag, like he's done everything this year except win.
Yes.
Right. Like, I mean, what has he got? Like 25 top tens or something. And like, I'm sure 20 top five. I mean, like you said, he just rattled off the stats. So I get it. And at the end of the day, when it comes to the playoffs, like the pressure ramps up, but you just keep doing what you're doing. And hopefully what you're doing is the right thing. That's how it's gotten you there. So, you know, Ross is a little bit at a deficit, not winning because now he doesn't have a lot of bonus points. So I think he starts the round like 15 points behind, but he's really good at all types of racetracks, and especially at Kansas and Texas. And Justin, I mean, he's just solid everywhere that he goes. So if they want to talk to me, I'm here, but I don't try to, you know, sure, add anything to it.
Yeah,
let's put it that way.
Cool. Yeah, I'm with you there. All right, man. Off season's it's right around the corner. You know, travel's down and all that kind of stuff. But do you got anything fun or anything like that planned that you're looking forward to, you know, once Phoenix is over?
Well, I mean, heck, let's call it what it is. Like, I don't have to do this every week anyway. Right. So next week I'm going to Hilton Head for several days. My wife and I just had our 1 year anniversary.
Oh, congratulations.
Last week. So we're going to Hilton Head for several days and hanging out. No real plans in the off season. Heck, when our off season ends, I still got to do one more IMSA race for the 12 hours of Sebring for NBC Sports. So it all happens quick. And then just had the announcement with Mike Shank and Meyer Shank Racing, my 15th year, going to be racing at the Rolex 24 with them. And we're moving back up to the DPI class, the Daytona Prototypes. So legitimately, we'll start testing in the beginning of December, brand new car for that team with Acura and Honda HPD. So yeah, there's no real off season,
right?
it's Rolex starts right up again. So that's the way I like it.
That's awesome, man. Well, hey man, tell everyone where they can keep up with you on social media. Shout outs to sponsors, the team, all that good stuff.
Yeah. I mean, I keep it low profile, so I'm only on Twitter at AJ Dinger. Of course, College Racing, we're always having fun with each other on social media. So you can follow at College Racing. But yeah, I mean, just, it was cool, really cool to get Ellsworth Advisors into Victory Lane. They've sponsored me several races this year and we've been so close and I wanted so much to get them in Victory Lane. And it was cool to finally do that for them and Chevrolet. And, as I said, I mean, Lee Filter Gutter Protection is a big sponsor of College Racing, and we had the Nutrien Ag Solutions in car cam. So kind of got it all done, got everything into Victory Lane. It's the first time College Racing has ever had two wins in a row. So that's special. So just a lot of good things happening. And as I said, hopefully, Ross and Justin, they go win the next 2 weeks and lock themselves in to Phoenix.
That'd be amazing. That'd be so cool. Lap Traffic Nation, huge thanks to AJ Allmendinger, driver the number 16 with College Racing, for calling in. AJ, this was a lot of fun. I love talking to you, man. Enjoy the trip. Stay safe, stay healthy, and look forward to talking to you soon, man.
Yeah, I look forward to it. Thank you.
Thanks, man. Oh, Lap Traffic Nation. How cool is AJ Allmendinger? You know, he very well could be like the Clint Boyer 2.0 of I want to go have a beer with that guy. Like, AJ just is cool, full of energy, love it, pleasure to talk to. That was so cool, absolutely love that. The only thing that I want to continue on with the Xfinity talk is, you know, cutoff race this past weekend, and as expected, you know, no movement. But now is where it gets interesting to see who can make that final four. Is there's only 5 points between fourth place Noah Gregson, sixth place Brandon Jones, and only 15 points between Gregson in fourth and Ross in seventh. And as AJ just mentioned, he is confident, as kind of am I, honestly, in Justin Haley and Ross Chastain potentially being able to go out there and win their way into the next round. And then you got Ryan Sieg, you know, and nothing against Ryan. I think Ryan's done a great job. I'd love to talk to him one of these days, to be honest with you. You know, I think getting to the round of eight is a huge accomplishment for him. You know, hey, I think it would be, man, you want to talk about a Cinderella story, is if Ryan can get to the final four. I think from a, you know, if we're looking at numbers, stats, and letting those tell the story, that's probably not going to happen, but hell of a season for those guys for sure. And definitely think they could be a force to be reckoned with even stronger next year, without a doubt. But man, you know, the top three are probably a lock between Briscoe, Cindric, and Allgaier. I think they get to the final four. It's who's that fourth spot between Gregson, Haley, Jones, and Chastain, to be honest with you. That's where I'm at with that. And we're going to see who can maybe punch their ticket early Saturday afternoon at Kansas. So, all right, now to the dance, the big dance. Sunday, the Roval. Let's talk about that a minute. So, for me, this thing got better as the rain ended. I mean, Saturday, that was a little bit of a bleep show with how much rain was on the track. Couldn't have been a better track, though. I mean, if we're going to, you know, from a NASCAR perspective, thankfully we were at the Roval. Otherwise, who knows when they would have been able to get this thing in. You know, it was cool to know that we had the potential to run on the slicks. They obviously put them on. You know, you don't want to see that much rain on the track. At least I don't, with the potential running in the rain race. you know, a little, a light drizzle, you know, that sort of thing. Cool. But man, that, you know, I just hate things turning into the gimmick. And I felt that was definitely gimmick style there for sure on Saturday and a little bit early on Sunday. But nonetheless, it's in the books. And Chase Elliott, man, road course guy, apparently, right? Fourth consecutive road course win, five of his nine wins having come at road courses or the Roval, if you want to be that, you know, finicky in terms of not calling the Roval a road course. But, you know, if we're just going to, you know, it wasn't an oval, you know, if we want to look at it that way. I think someone is very happy that we've got six road courses next year. Chase is slowly building to that next level that we all wanted him to race at, year one, race one of his career in the Cup Series, right? You know, but the dude had some monster shoes to fill. Coming to HMS, you know, exceptions to, or I'm sorry, expectations that he was going to be the most popular driver of the year. Son of Bill Elliott, like, no pressure, dude. Just come win, right? You know, third year in a row, three wins. After an 0-99 start, you know, three wins is pretty solid a year when you look at guys that aren't doing that. Kurt Busch isn't getting multiple race wins a year. You know, Kurt's got one win the last 5 years. One win per year. Ryan Blaney isn't winning multiple races a year. Eric Jones isn't winning multiple races a year. So the fact that Chase has consistently gone out there for 3 years in a row and won three races, I'd say he took that next step already. So then now what's the next step? You know, is it's the 5-7 range and, you know, competing for that final four spot in the playoffs. You know, how long is it going to take him to get there? You know, I think the combination of him getting better each year, along with potentially maybe the next car in 2022, along with maybe a couple retirements coming along the way, you know, I think it's not going to take him that long to get there. You know, Chase could potentially be doing that over the next 2 to 3 years, and at only 25 years old, I am excited for what the future win column is going to hold for Chase Elliott. I feel bad for some of your pocket and checkbook out there if you're a die-cast collector, because there's going to be plenty of race win die-cast coming your way if you are a Chase Elliott fan and all that good stuff. And speaking, wow, I have to do a hard left turn. I meant to talk about this at the open. Speaking of checkbooks, were you all like so non-productive at work today because you were on Amazon Prime Day? Like, it literally felt like every 2 minutes. I didn't know I needed this, but because Amazon's marketing is that good that it even, you know, creeps into all of our minds. Like, well, of course I have to have this. Like, oh man. And we get another day of it tomorrow. Oh, it is a guilty pleasure to just click and buy from the office chair, man. That is a definite thing right there for sure. Okay. All right. Let's get back out onto the track. And speaking of Chase, you know, he's got his win this past weekend. Kurt Busch won race one of this round. You know, and in my opinion, the second round of the playoffs, that is the toughest round. Round two with Talladega and the Roval. It's definitely the wild card round of the playoffs, like I said, with two of the most challenging races. This round can make or break you, and I feel like we saw that with Kurt. Without that win, and I could be wrong mathematically, but it might have been a little bit easier for Kyle Busch maybe to get to the next round. I'm sure we could go out there and calculate how that would have played out. But Kurt Busch, race one of round two. Chase Elliott, race three of round two. Chevy's taking advantage, which I think is very cool. I've said it since Daytona. Chevy is getting to the final four. I think it'll be Chase over Kurt, but man, great to see Chevy making some noise consistently, two out of three races here in the playoffs, which is very cool. Now, let's talk about the other Busch brother, Kyle Busch. You know, dude called it a few weeks ago. And I'm not, you know, he says, I'm not advancing, you know, and I know he took some heat for that. Looking back on that, you know, I think his team knows how competitive Kyle is. Obviously, we all see his interviews. We know how pissed he gets when he finishes second. You know, Kyle, obviously, just a little bit more vocal about it, you know. And he flat out said his post race interview this past week after the Roval, you know, man, I'm not feeling it. I don't know if I'm doing something wrong, you know. And he's just that type to publicize that, where most wouldn't publicize the fact that, hey, man, yeah, I'm just not feeling it. You know, I think it's great that he did it, though. You know, I don't think it's great that he's not in the playoffs. You know, Kyle Busch has built the reputation from his fellow racers in all three series. You win a truck race with Kyle Busch in the field, drivers have said they've got a little extra swagger, because it's not only did I win the truck race, but I won a truck race with Kyle Busch in the field. You know, he was not the best this year, but it still means something, I think, when you say that, hey, I won a race with Kyle Busch in the field. So I am bummed that Kyle is still not in the playoffs. I think it's, you know, it's bad for the sport. It's unfortunate. It's not like, you know, NASCAR did anything, or trust me, I think NASCAR wanted Kyle Busch to advance in the playoffs as well. Just wasn't meant to be. But man, I still say, man, he's going to get on a tear. And when he does, watch out. And I tell you what, I wouldn't be surprised if he goes first race out of the playoffs and goes and picks up a win this weekend. Wouldn't be surprised. Let me tell you. All right, I think that's going to do it for the race talk this week. Let's do a little social media. Everybody, make sure you check out the website, thelaptrafficpodcast.com, Facebook, The Lap Traffic Podcast, YouTube, The Lap Traffic Podcast, and of course, Instagram and Twitter, at Lap Traffic PC. Listen to the show, subscribe, download, leave a review, all that good stuff. The prizes are all mailed out from the 5,000 followers, the 200th episode, and I'm pretty sure everybody has received them, which is awesome. I've seen pictures tweeted out, which is just incredible. Thank you to everybody. Now, I said last week I was going to go easy for a minute on the giveaways. And intern Dan was like, hey, man, we got to bump some. We got to get some traction going over on Instagram. So it may already be out. If not, it will be out by the time you're listening to this. And we're going to do a little Lap Traffic prize pack on Instagram to help get to 500 followers there. You were at 5,000 on Twitter. We need to get to 500 on Instagram for sure. So very, you know, it's going to be very easy, and your odds are pretty good. So go follow on Instagram at Lap Traffic PC. Be on the lookout for some posts and all that good stuff there. Shout outs to some new followers. We've got Brandon at Brandon Delfino 2, a big Chip Ganassi racing fan, which is awesome. We got Jake at Jake Ryder 19, racing fan from Kentucky. We've got Bob at Go Fast Bobby, new NASCAR fan, and he's been around for a couple years. Welcome to the show. And very cool, the Monster Mile and Nashville Super Speedway also gave a follow as well, which is very cool. So hope you guys enjoy the show, all that good stuff. Hey, listen, I'm going to give a shameless plug. The holidays are right around the corner. It was Prime Day. So, hey, go tell your significant other, whomever, who's going to be buying you something for Christmas, to go get you some Lap Traffic swag on the website. There's T-shirts, mugs, hoodies, all that good stuff. I might even try to update that. I think there's some new stuff that I could make available. I'll see if any of that is worthwhile and get that updated as well. And of course, there are free stickers and koozies for anybody that wants one. All you got to do is fill out the contact page on the website, and I will send it out to you for free. All right. That'll do it for that. Let's get Mr. Brian Newdorf on the line. All right, Lap Traffic Nation, joining me on the line. You can follow him on Twitter at NASCAR_WXMAN, along with Aaron Studwell, keeping us up to date on all the weather happenings. It was a busy kind of busy weekend this past week.
It was kind of busy.
Yes. Welcome back to the show, Brian Newdorf. Sir, how are you?
I'm good. I'm going to tell NASCAR fans, be careful what you wish for.
Right? Man. There are some puddles.
As I tweeted, sometimes there can be too much of a good thing.
Yeah, that
they're race cars, not pontoon boats.
Right. Yeah, it was a little chaotic, maybe a bit much. I think NASCAR wanted to get that race in, especially on Saturday. But yeah, man, that was interesting.
And then this also points out that just because it does something on one day and there's a similar forecast the next, they aren't the same days.
Sure.
Weather moves. It changes for the most part. And I generally think we got the forecast pretty well for Saturday. I didn't think it was going to be a washout. But, I mean, they were racing. They could rain. I didn't think it was going to be nearly as wet. But I was like, because I mean, near the end of the race, there were starting to see those severe weather that we talked about. And that all kind of came in afterwards. So that was the blessing. But the chance was always there. But we definitely got some drier weather in there. But no, the big story obviously was obviously the Xfinity and the you know, unfortunately we didn't build the arc for the Roval.
No, it could have though. We could have.
We could have.
Every animal inside. We could have. You know.
Well, I mean, listen. I love it that NASCAR fans want to see racing in the rain, and I like it too. But there is a limit. Difference.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, we definitely. I thought we were over the line. Apparently, we tiptoed very well close to the line.
Well, I don't think you were alone. I think the people behind the wheels thought that we were over the line.
Yes, yes. Well, as mentioned by AJ Allmendinger earlier in the show, yeah, he was like, "Man, what are we doing here?" So, yes, no, yeah, definitely, the drivers were definitely a little concerned at some points and times during the race. There, that's for sure. So,
I mean, I can just tell you one thing here. When we start to get some high water on the highway at 60 miles an hour, I get nervous. Okay. Let alone over 90 to 100 and whatever it is.
And no visibility. You know,
I held my breath every time they were on the embankment there, you know, seriously.
Yeah. It's one thing to be on the inside part, but yeah, getting out there on the oval part, man. Yeah, that definitely. That's one of the reasons why I thought they were probably going to, you know, if that had been something like that on a full, you know, like Watkins Glen, Sonoma, where there's no oval piece to it at all. All right, maybe. But, man, yeah, the fact that they went on the embankments there, yeah, I'm with you there 100%.
Because I kept watching cars get loose and, you know, it's just, yeah. And then you have to slow down and you have to brake and water. I mean, yes, they're tires, but like anything, like everybody goes, no, you get this. You're in Michigan.
Yeah.
And we'll bring up another thing here after I mention this. But the fact that, you know, it snows in Michigan.
It does.
Okay. So you have four wheel drive. That helps you go. It doesn't help you stop.
Right. Yeah.
Ice is still ice.
Right. Yes. Yep. Yep.
But anyway, so folks, you know, we've talked many, many times. I mean, I've been on the show now at least a year and a half.
Yeah.
And, you know, we've all had these good jokes, people who send me an app. So do you want me or do you want to tell everybody what happened when you asked me? You're like, oh, today's our last nice day. And I said, no, no, you look good. What did you do?
It's all you, man. You take it.
No, you confess. It's good to confess your sins.
So as Brian and I, before we hit record, you know, he's like, he's confirming, you know, last minute details. And I'm like, yeah, I'm bummed. You know, today's supposed to be the last nice day up here in Michigan. And Brian goes, yeah, no, you should get one more day. And as he's typing, I'm literally pulling up my app. But I go, oh, yeah, you're right. My app says tomorrow should be nice.
I mean, the only benefit is you didn't send it to me. Okay, that's the only. I don't know what's worse. Okay.
Oh, that's too funny. That's too funny.
You're losing your. You're gonna lose your crew chief this week. All right, there's your.
Oh man.
You're fine 10 cents. And okay.
Yeah, that's about the revenue the show brings in. So, all right, that'll work.
I know. I've already broke. Fair. By finding you 10 cents, I've already broke the show.
Yes. We're out. Oh, that's great. That's great. Well, how is the weekend looking coming up here for Kansas Saturday and Sunday?
Well, it looks better than Clint Bowyer after the race.
Oh, man. You know,
he's a stud. Now I don't want him to retire.
I know, man. He's so cool. Oh, it's good. I'm going to hate not see him on the track. But man, it could be a blessing in disguise that we're going to get him in the booth. We're going to get to listen to him every week. We're going to get Clint Boy. We're going to get the good old, you know, relaxed, here to have a good time, Clint Bowyer, the guy everybody wants to go and have a beer with. That's the Clint Bowyer.
And it's funny. And it's funny because NASCAR tweeted out, like, you're rushing off to go to your new job. And it was the one where he's, like, running after to go get Gordon, who's now his coworker. And I wasn't sure if that was deliberate. I mean, are they going to, you know, finish, you know, is there going to be unfinished business and they're going to go at it in the booth? And that would be funny.
Right.
No, I don't think that's going to happen.
Well, no, because they kind of did that during the COVID thing when they were doing the iRacing. They were they were pairing off Gordon and Boyer, or Gordon and Boyer there during the Fox part of that. So, yeah, they'll definitely have some fun with that for sure. I do feel bad. I mean, they could not have picked a worse photo to use for all of this out there, like.
But I think, but no, no, after the race.
Yeah, like, come on, catch, what is it, give the guy picture, a break.
Okay. No. I think it was perfect because it just made him. I mean, I think that says a lot about what he managed to do and how he felt afterwards. I mean, I think that I thought it was, to me, that made, that gave him legend status.
Fair enough. I could see that. Yeah. Yeah, I guess it wasn't them like trying to poke fun at it or anything. It was just like, look how, you know,
the dude just wheeled himself. You know, the, right. You know, I mean, granted, it was self-inflicted, but that detail we'll leave out.
Fair enough.
Apparently, self-inflicting yourself was the trend this weekend. So.
Yes. Oh man. All right, now we can go circle back over to Kansas. How's Kansas looking this weekend?
It looks good. Everything looks dry. But again, when we record this early, I never go 100%. So I always leave that opportunity for something to happen, because it looks like a front's going to come through, because we're going to go from 70 to 50.
Yeah.
For Sunday. So Sunday's going to be chilly. But everything right now looks like we're going to have fair weather for that race for both days, Saturday and Sunday. So we're looking at some pretty good stuff.
Excellent. Well, that's exciting to hear, especially after the monsoon we got this past weekend. Everyone will be back to being happy with you 2 weeks in a row, because you delivered rain when everybody wanted it. And now we all want nice and dry for the next four races. So you're off to a good start.
Well, you know what? I feel like after the wet start, we've been pretty quiet. Aaron and I have been kind of like on easy street.
Yes. Yeah. It was, I think the first, four or five races was definitely a
more
challenge.
Than that. It was like the first, the first half.
Was it? Yeah. I was going to say, I was trying to block it from my memory, but.
Well, I mean, we were trying to do seven races in 3 hours. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah. They were definitely, rubbing a crystal ball there to try to make some Hail Marys happen. That's for sure. So
that's why it was wetter. I mean, we weren't going to the same places. We were trying to do a lot in the same time. And keep in mind, a location will typically be stuck in a pattern from anywhere from a week to 10 days, maybe longer. So when you're trying to race in a location that's, you know, seeing the same kind of weather, you're going to see the same kind of weather.
Absolutely.
So,
yes.
Oh, and real quick, a funny story.
Yes, please.
Because of being the NASCAR weatherman.
Yes.
So a friend of mine I grew up with in Terre Haute, Indiana, he was watching some college football, which you and I have not been able to do yet.
Well, not the ones we want to anyway.
Exactly. Well, I mean, yeah. Yes. I mean, so we're not watching college football for our teams or mm-hmm. our conference. So the guy was saying, he put out a post on Facebook that said, God, country, and Notre Dame. My response was, well, 2 out of 3 ain't bad.
That's funny. I really like that. That's a good one.
But that's not even the joke. The best part was somebody on his page goes, Brian Newdorf, NASCAR weatherman, you're friends with this guy. And I'm like, yeah, we grew up together. So I'm apparently internet famous. So
excellent.
But that's all right. I do have a show. I do have a shirt that I wore to Vegas one time, and it says, yes, I'm the guy from the internet, or something like that.
Oh, that's funny. Did anyone come up and like, hey, who are you?
What I do is, like, on my lanyard, I try to, with my credentials, have my I try to have my avatar, because it's not my face,
right,
on it. So
excellent. That's fantastic.
I'm about as anonymous as NASCAR Gasm, and I'm not trying to be, so.
That's a good one there. That's a good one. All right, man, anything else for you?
No, I mean, we're a week and a half? Till actually, you know, we get to see our teams play.
Yes. Oh man, we're getting close. We are getting. We're doing a little block party for Michigan State, which is going to be pretty cool.
Okay. So. Serious. I almost think. I know it's not special next week, but I almost think you need to have Aaron and I both on for like the show and then like the Big Ten preview.
Oh, well.
I am so outnumbered. It's not even funny. But the best thing is, our team doesn't play you or Ohio State.
No, that's true. The only thing, the only downfall to next
I
week
know,
is, well, no, the only downfall is that we are getting new windows put in the house late next week, and that could make it challenging to try to do a second show because they're.
Oh, I didn't mean a second show. We can just you just bring it on the main show.
Oh, let me work that in there next week. Let me see what we can figure out because that wouldn't be a horrible idea. So do a quick rundown, win loss, and go from there or something like that.
I mean, I'm a Purdue fan, so I'm obviously going to take, you know, no, I mean, right, yeah. We got Rondell Moore, though. We got him back.
Well, hey, I mean, I couldn't even tell you who Michigan's quarterback is right now.
So that's all right.
I couldn't tell.
It's not Brady, so I'll just tell you Brady. That.
Yeah, no, that much I do know. It's not Denard Robinson either.
So. No, but the question, here's the question, and then the question, I'm going to give you a whole week to answer it.
All right.
Can Harbaugh beat Ohio State?
Not this year.
Ofer continues.
Yeah.
Ofer.
I will say the Ofer continues.
Ofer? Is that what we're going to be?
Shit, it might be. Yeah. God. Thanks for wrapping up the show on that high note. Appreciate you. Let me send us off on the Maize and Blue Hail to the Victors. Yeah, no, that's.
Well,
not
you
happening.
Deserve it.
Oh,
yeah.
Well,
you know
man.
What? Go open up your Michigan app and find out, okay?
Oh, man. Thanks. All right, everyone. Make sure you follow Brian Newdorf.
After this, I'm going to hang up and I'm going to send you a bunch of pictures of Ohio State gifts just throughout the rest of the night.
Just cuz.
I'll promote the podcast, but I will put, you know, Ohio State.
Well, you know, the likes of Brad Yunker and Brad from MIS. I mean, you'll have good company to egg you on for it all. So you'll be good there. So.
And unfortunately now, eventually there's an ad out on social media for Jake from State Farms. He's Captain Khaki. You can't even have that.
No. Yeah, no. Yep. Nope. all right. Well, this was a fun one, Lap Traffic Nation. Everyone make sure you follow Brian on Twitter.
Oh yeah. And there was weather too. Yeah.
Yes, there was
again, it was nice. There's weather. It's just a repeat. It's nice for Kansas. It looks good. And we'll follow. I'm going to do your line here.
All right,
don't forget to follow me at NASCAR Weatherman, WXMAN NASCAR _ WXMAN, which now I have WXMAN on my license plate. Thank you very much.
Oh, that's
there's not enough room for NASCAR. It's a Purdue plate, though. And then the other one is you can follow at Race Weather, Aaron Studwell. Dr. PhD. Aaron Studwell at Race Weather. He doesn't have the PhD in his thing there, but you can give him a follow. He's been doing outstanding. In fact, he's been working harder than I have. So
excellent. I love it. You sent yourself off there. All right, man. We'll catch you soon, man.
All right. You have a good one.
Thanks, you too. We'll see you.
All right.
Bye. Oh, great to catch up with Brian Newdorf there. It is time to keep moving along, though. It is time for this week's Lucky Dog and Lapdown Picks. You guys know the drill. Send your Lucky Dog Lapdown Picks, or you can call the Wave Around Hotline, 248-965-9538. Leave your picks there. My Lucky Dog of the race weekend, I got three of them. It's the race winners, Chase Elliott, A.J. Allmendinger, and NASCAR for getting those races in. Lapdown the weather, because that just got a little bleepish, in my opinion. All right, let's get to your tweeted responses. Scott at 1985 Wagner's Lucky Dog Cup Series. Eric Jones looking for a job and has a killer performance. Lap down, Kyle Busch, late race needed pit hurt the finish. Jess at Iowa NASCAR Fans Lucky Dog. Xfinity drivers raced in a monsoon. Had some ugly moments, but overall everyone did a great job adapting and putting on a great show. Lap down, Kyle Busch. Who would have thought the 18 would be winless with four races to go in 2020? Eddie at Eddie _EG3's Lucky Dog. AJ conquers the monsoon, which was the Charlotte Roval on Saturday. Lap down, Kyle Busch predicted he'd go out this round, and he did. No opportunity for back-to-back. Colin at Colin _with_cars. Lucky Dog. Chase Elliott in the engine number 9. Four road courses in a row. Just massive. Masterful. Lap down. I hate to do it, but my man Blaney is getting the lap down this week. He could have won, but made a bad mistake late in the race to give up the lead. Let's see here. Jeff at JBev1789's Lucky Dog Xfinity Series. Lucky Dog. Congrats to Ryan Sieg making it to the next round over JGR and JRM. Very impressive. Lap down, not having more lights in the infield, knowing the threat of rain has been there all week. You know, Jeff, I got to agree with you. You know, they could have at least rolled in some of them, you know, four corner, you know, pole lights with the generators and crank some of them up or something at least. Jeff's lucky dog for the Cup Series, Bowman, making it to the round of eight. Six top tens in the last eight races. He and Ives have found that early season speed just in time. Lap down, tough, but I have to go with Kyle Busch simply as his early exit. Let's see here. Matt at CH9SE fan. Lucky dog goes to NASCAR for dealing with a very tough situation and giving us a fantastic weekend of racing. Lap down goes to Chase Briscoe for continuing to get beat on the restarts. Never tried switching lanes, costing him a win. Trey at Dang Rain. Lucky dog has to be Chase. He probably doesn't win this race in the rain. Can't say for sure. But with the dry track, nobody had anything for him. Plus, he comes back to win after a pit road issue. Lap down, Clint. I doubt he could run with a nine, but he had a fast car today. And Jaden at Jaden Smith, lucky dog. Chase Elliott once again coming from a mistake, this time on pit road, and still win the race. A lap down to William Byron, who I think throughout the day had the second best car. Made a mistake on pit road that cost him a chance to win. Awesome, guys. Thank you for your tweeted responses. Let's get to your calls on the Wave Around Hotline.
Hi, Brandon. It's Matt at Camper News. With the racing in general this weekend, the Xfinity Series and the Cup Series, the Xfinity Series yesterday, oh, my goodness, it was just such a wild race yesterday with the Xfinity race, with racing in the rain. And but the racing itself, I thought, was incredible, you know. Never seen a NASCAR race in that such a heavy rain. And hats off to NASCAR for what they did yesterday. I thought at times they shouldn't have raced in the rain, like the downpour like that, especially at the ponding and everything. But, you know, it was a heck of a show yesterday, today, starting on what tires for the Cup Series, the first since the 1950s. It was absolutely an incredible show, I thought. You know, strategies all over the place. But anyway, nonetheless, so for my lucky dog this week, it's going to go to Chase Elliott. Four straight road course wins for Chase. He's on a heck of a roll right now when it comes to road course racing. And his advance to the round of eight was great for him. Congratulations to him. And I'm really looking forward to seeing how Chase does in the round of eight starting this upcoming weekend. I absolutely love what Chase has done in road course racing. He's just so dominant right now. And for my lap down, it's going to go to Chase in the Xfinity Series yesterday. He had a very good race up front all day, and, you know, with the rain and everything, you know, he had that mistake at the end, which he admitted on Twitter, and, you know, he's going to learn from that mistake. I really feel bad for Chase Briscoe, but, you know, nonetheless, he did get into the round of eight, I think it is, in the Xfinity Series, since he got the win early in the round. So, anyway, with that, hope you all enjoy your week, Brandon, Lap Trap Nation, and I'll talk to you next weekend after the first race of the round of eight at Kansas. Thank you so much, Brandon. Take care. Bye.
Oh, hey, Matt, thank you so much for calling in. Appreciate you as always. And yeah, you know, I'll just piggyback off what you said there, because you hit it on the head for a couple of things. But yeah, there were definitely times where I thought, man, these guys really still racing. I kept waiting for that caution. I'm like, all right, they got to call it now. They've got to call it now. But nope. They didn't. They let him go. All right. Got one more for you. You know who it is. It's the voice of the Wave Around Hotline.
What's going on, Lap Traffic Nation? Voice of the Wave Around Hotline at Racing Fans calling in after the Roble. Victory Edition. The siren is blaring in Dawsonville, Georgia. Love to see it. Second year in a row, Chase has had a big comeback. Last year, his controller disconnected and he drove straight into the wall, and this year, a loose wheel. So that's kind of cool. Two big comebacks to get two in a row at the Roval. He is the winningest driver in the Roval history, albeit a small sample size. I just wanted to throw that one in there. As for the race itself, I thought it was a pretty damn good race. The rain tires and the early strategy was kind of, it was fun to watch, I thought. The slicks and the rain tires, I enjoyed that. Overall, I thought the race was really good, too. I don't think we need to see crashing and you know, cars in a fence and wadded up. For it to be a good race, it was a good, clean race. Granted, there were a lot of spins and incidents throughout the race, like Ryan Newman crashing God knows how many times. I got nothing to say about that other than that schmuck and his fan base is a lap down. I gotta give NASCAR actually a huge lucky dog. This race was officiated way differently, and I believe way better than it was last year. Last year there were a lot of single car spins where someone would just put the car in gear and drive away, and caution comes out. And you're like, ah, really? That don't need to be a caution. This year they did an excellent job on holding the caution flag, letting the race kind of play out the way it should be. So I gotta give NASCAR and the officiating team a lot of credit. Off the way they officiated the Roval. I know I don't say that about NASCAR often, but they deserve kudos here. Good race. Really excited for the round of eight. I think these are the eight best drivers we've seen in 2020, so it's going to be a dogfight. Who's got the fastest car in Kansas and Texas, and who's got the most finesse in Martinsville? I'm really looking forward to it. I would not be surprised to see Kevin Harvick or Denny Hamlin miss the final four, because I think any of these eight drivers can go out and win. Three in a row right here, man. It's going to be fun. I'm looking forward to it. I'm ready to hear that siren go off a couple more times this year, though.
Oh, Mr. Andrew Cancian, listen, I was saving those sirens for you, brother. I was waiting for your call to play, and there they were. Listen, you make an interesting point, man, in terms of the round of eight and in terms of any one of these drivers could maybe go out there and play spoiler to the likes of Kevin Harvick and Denny Hamlin. Here's the thing. This round, maybe plays favorite to Denny Hamlin a little bit. We all know he's got a handful of clocks. So, you know, push come to shove, we know Denny Hamlin can go out and win at Martinsville if he has to get to the next round. Can't say the same thing about Kevin Harvick at Martinsville. I think Kevin Harvick either needs to make sure he's got himself locked in via points going into Martinsville, or he's got to win this weekend or at Texas. Now, with both mile and a halves that can play into Kevin Harvick's wheelhouse, but that's not to say we know Brad Keselowski likes mile and a half. We know Chase Elliott can go out and win at Kansas. We know Joey Logano likes the mile and a half. Martin Truex Jr. You know, so now is, you know, are we throwing shade potentially at Alex Bowman and Kurt Busch? Because that's not fair. Alex Bowman's 1 mile and a half. Kurt Busch just recently won one. So I cannot argue your point there that really, man, anybody could come out here and I'm not going to say steal final four spots, but, you know, typically we're going to see the top four maybe advance with, you know, maybe one variation there. Now, I'm not going to say, you know, five through eight are going to flip flop here, but things are definitely going to get crazy. That is for sure. So appreciate that feedback and take there. That's going to do it for this week's Lucky Dog and Lap Down segment. All right, Lap Traffic Nation, it is time to close this thing out with a little Lap Traffic Fantasy. Just a reminder, get your picks in by midnight on Thursday. Keep the Twitter interaction up and all that good stuff. We are down to just eight players remaining in the league. I can't believe we're so close to being done here. Let's get this week's, one of this week's week high, because there was a bunch of them on the line. Welcome back to the show, Mr. Kent Dolphy. Kent, what's going on, man? How are you?
I'm doing great, Brandon. How are you?
I am awesome, man. Welcome back to the show. How's it going?
Good. The first time I got to call back in since Daytona 500, so I was hoping I'd get a few more calls in between then and now, but I'm happy to be back.
Glad to have you back, man. Yeah, it's that's a time stretch there, but hey, who knows, you could be on the next 3 weeks. So
I sure hope so. I squeaked in through the first round. I was in trouble after Talladega, and I'm just happy to still be going. I was kind of dreading the email this morning when it came in, but I'm up to sixth place right now.
Excellent. Yeah, and hey, all you gotta do is really get to fourth. You don't need first, because then it's you know, the reset there for Phoenix. So that'll be good. Yeah, man, I'm really hoping that it's going to maybe take a Hail Mary, but I hope I can get all four Final Four on for that week going into Phoenix, because I think that'd be a lot of fun. So
if I make it, I'll be on the call.
Excellent. Sure. I love it. So, yeah, so everyone, week high this week was a little low this week. It was 87 points, which was Brian Hall, Chad Robb, Joe Houston, Kent Dolphy, Robert Riggs, and we got Rob or Kent on the phone. Sorry about that. What'd you think of the racing this weekend?
I really enjoyed Saturday. It was kind of a mess, or very much a mess, but that worked out for me okay. I had to spend all day raking leaves in my backyard, and by the time I was done, it was on the red flag, so I was able to catch up real quick. Sunday was, I enjoyed it, but it wasn't as memorable as, you know, Chase Elliott hitting the wall last year. So,
right, fair enough, yes.
But since I had Chase Elliott, I was happy that he got the win. Kept me going in the playoffs. So
absolutely, 100%. All right, well, let's hit the standings here real quick. There is a little bit of a miscalculation on the website there, so what's on the website is wrong. Joe Houston is still in first with 753. Robert is in second with 745. Brian Hall in third with 723. Chad Robin fourth with 713. Matt Camper fifth, 712. Kent, you're in sixth, 697. David James in seventh, 692. And Joel Nolf with 683. So there's only 1 point between fourth and fifth. Kent, you're only about, 15 points out or so there. Not bad. Anything can happen with these last three races here if you can strike gold, man.
I'm nervous, but I'm in better shape than I was after Talladega. So
absolutely.
We'll see.
Well, sir, you ready to make some picks for this weekend?
Yep, I'm ready.
All right, Lap Traffic Fantasy players, we are down to the Elite Eight, both in the league and in the Cup Series. We are headed back to the Midwest. We're going to Kansas. You want trends? Look no further than Denny Hamlin. That's the trend. Denny has won back-to-back races at Kansas. The eight playoff drivers definitely like this place. Denny, Kevin, Brad, Chase, Truex, Joey, all with wins at Kansas. It's only Bowman and, surprisingly, Kurt Busch who do not have wins at Kansas. But even those guys got some top tens the last few trips there. Does someone punch their ticket to Phoenix early? Who can take charge in the Lap Traffic Fantasy League? We will find out this weekend. But first, it's time for our picks. We got all three series this week. I'm excited to get some trucks back. Kent, who is your pick for the truck series?
Yeah, I'm going to kind of take the same strategy as, was it Jesse last week?
Who, yes.
He was trying to zig where everybody else was zagging, and since I need to make up a little bit of ground, I'm going to try to do the same. For trucks, he's been good for me all year. I'm going to go with Brett Moffitt. He was runner-up in the first Kansas race this year and had a worst, I think it was 23rd in the second Kansas race, but he's been good to me, so I'm going to go with Brett Moffitt for the trucks.
Nice. I'm going to go with Tyler Ankrum. I believe that's where he has his one lone win. He's been running good. Advance to the next round. So I look for Tyler Ankrum to make a little noise this weekend. Over to the Xfinity Series, sir. Who you got?
Again, I'm going to try to go with the guy who's got me pretty far. I'm going to go with Austin Cindric. Brandon Jones has won the last two races at Kansas and Xfinity, so I think he's going to be popular. And I'm going to hope that Austin Cindric can get by him this time. I think in the last race they went to overtime and Cindric was out front and Jones got around him to get the win, so I'm hoping Cindric can give me this race. And I know who you're picking. You're picking Ross Chastain.
You know it. You got it, man. It's one thing I haven't had to backspace on the Word document for the notes, that's for sure. You got it. All right, over to the Cup Series. Who do you have?
I'm going to go with Kevin Harvick. I think Denny's going to be the popular choice, but I haven't used either of them yet, so I'm going to use Kevin this week, and hopefully he'll get punch his ticket to Phoenix on Sunday.
I'd be A-okay with that. I'm going to go with Kyle Busch. I think it would be just like Kyle Busch to the first round after he gets eliminated to go out there and pick up the win. So I'm going to say Kyle Busch, play spoiler to everybody else this week.
I could definitely see that happening, and Twitter will be on fire.
They'll
if that
lose their mind. Yes, they will, for sure. All right, man. Well, thanks so much for calling in. Good luck these last few races, and who knows? Maybe we'll get to talk to you again soon here before this thing's all over.
Awesome. Thanks, Brandon.
Yep. Take care. All right, Lap Traffic Nation, that is going to do it for episode 205 of the Lap Traffic Podcast. Look at me getting it done in under 90 minutes. Make sure you check out the website, thelaptrafficpodcast.com. Like on Facebook, The Lap Traffic Podcast. Follow on Twitter, @LapTrafficPC. Subscribe, download, all that good stuff. Huge thanks to Gary Camp from the Monster Mile and the Nashville Super Speedway. Big thanks to AJ Allmendinger with Colic Racing, Brian Newdorf, and Kent Dolphe for calling in. I guess I got to get to work on next week's guest. Don't get caught chasing the lucky dog. Make sure you tune in each and every week to the Lap Traffic Podcast. See ya!